Hello and welcome to another Sunday Conversation. I'm G Smooth, and my guest today is none other than the president and publisher of the Courier Echo Latino newspaper, Wayne Hales. How you doing today?
Man, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming in and having a conversation with us today. So, of course, if you've been in this city over the past 20 years, the Courier Echo Latino is a fixture here. Like, you do so many things with it. You reach so many different people of so many different ethnic backgrounds with this publication. What was the starting point for you? What made you decide that this was a publication you wanted to bring to this community?
Well, back in 2005, I realized that there wasn't a black newspaper that was talking about the issues, that was talking about really bringing forth and introducing the community to the different entrepreneurs that were here. You know, it's grown over the years, in 20 years, but back in 2005, there were a lot of young folks who had started new businesses. But the fact of the matter was, the main point for me was, nobody was talking about what brothers were talking about in the barbershops, what women were talking in the beauty salons, what folks were talking about at church, what people were saying when they were reading one thing in the main newspapers or main news media. And so, you know, as people of color, we got a whole different ballgame. You know, we look at things, well, we don't look at things differently, but I guess if you could ask the question of why, it says why it's important to the black and brown community, was one of the reasons why I started the newspaper.
A very good source of what's going on under the surface here in the city. You know, of course, when we're reading the local newspaper, the Columbus Ledger Inquirer, and other publications, we do get a different view. Mm-hmm. You know, blacks and browns, blacks and Latinos have a different cultural experience when it comes to just living in America. And mm-hmm. so your perspective changes when you see certain things, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that is a, it's great to have that. Of course, we talk about journalistic integrity and mm-hmm. everybody, you know, we definitely believe in journalistic integrity and in putting forth the facts, but mm-hmm. even the way that you look at facts can be skewed due to your own personal experience.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why historically black newspapers were formed. It's because they were talking about, look, from the black perspective, you know, of course, all media is going to have their own perspective, whether it's MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, the Columbus Ledger Inquirer, WTVM, WRBL. But when you, the whole idea is, okay, when you're looking at it from our perspective, it's different. You can read something in any of the other medias or see something on the news, but then if you go deeper, the question you have to ask, how does it affect, why is it important to me, at the black and brown community? And so that is the whole reason why we really, really started the paper.
You know, you give a very unique perspective in the paper yourself with your column, A View from a Pew. Can you share with me the meaning behind A View from a Pew, and you know what kind of gave you this idea to give such a pointed perspective?
It's funny. The reason why I call it A View from the Pew, let me start there, is because when I decided to do a column, you know, I was trying to think, well, what should I call it? I say A View from a Pew. And why a pew is because growing up, my father's a Baptist minister. And growing up, my three brothers and sisters and I always, and my mother, would always have to sit in the third pew at every church we ever went to. So I just figured it was cool, The View from a Pew. I did not necessarily start out for it being inspirational, as it has become sort of more spiritual now. It was more humorous, and I would touch on all kinds of things. But you know what? It is, my father would always ask me whenever we were talking. I remember our last conversation before he passed away 11 years ago. He called me on that Saturday. He passed away on that Sunday, but and we talked He never, and it was funny because he never really called like that. But he happened to call out the blue, and we talked and we were laughing. And as always, whenever we talked, he would always say, well, "When are you going to preach your trial sermon?" And oh, wow. I would say, because he always wanted one of us. He figured one of his sons would be a preacher. And I said, look, Dad, I have fractured entirely too many commandments to be standing up in somebody's pulpit. And he always said, well, let me tell you something. You know, God doesn't always call the equipped. He equips the called. And he doesn't always deal with the perfect. He deals with the imperfect to get across what he wants to do. So, and then he ran down saying, you know, Moses was a stutterer. David was a murderer. You know, he went on down the line and said, you know, all these were imperfect people, you know. So he doesn't always call the righteous, the right, you know, the angels. He calls the sinners. And because of that, you know, so I'm like, okay, I ain't going to be preaching, though. That's fine. I said, but my paper is my calling, and I see my paper as my pulpit, and my view from a pew is my sermon that I put out every week.
You sound like you just dropped a sermon right then, you know, minister. You ministering over the air right now.
Oh, man.
So this publication has been a staple in this community for the past 20 years, mm-hmm. right? Has it turned out the way that you expected? Has it exceeded expectations? Are you still moving towards certain things with it?
Man, I tell you what. You know, you always expect to be around for a long time, but when it hit 20 years, it didn't even hit me until somebody said, you know, this 2025, you've been here for 20 years. I'm like, whoa, okay. And the bottom line is I'm still here, so obviously I'm still doing something right. I've never taken out a loan, you know, for those folks, never taken out a loan, you know, and this community has supported me financially. I've been able to pay my bills through the advertising that I've had for 20 years. We have changed over the years, and the whole idea, it's funny because I wanted to try to reach more young people. Now, we are now a fully digital format. At one point in time, we were printing the newspaper weekly and biweekly. And so it just got too expensive. You know, I mean, you're in media, you know, papers.
Absolutely.
A lot of newspaper companies have folded. So a lot of people, even the Ledger is only publishing, what, twice a week now, you know, three times a week on the weekends. So anyway, we were sort of forced. And, you know, that's how the Lord works. Sometimes you keep on doing stuff and you know you need to change, but you don't. And then the Lord will make you change. He'll be like, okay, you're going to have to change. So what happened about 6 months ago, we were getting our paper printed at Opelika, at the OA News. They were printing it. And then they closed down their printing and sent it to Montgomery. So I was getting the paper from Montgomery. Everything is digital, so I would send it to them through the computer, and then they would print it, and they would bring it to Opelika. We'd go down and pick it up at Opelika. That was from Montgomery. So then we got a call 6 months ago from Montgomery saying, we're no longer going to be printing here. You have two choices. You can either get your paper printed from Jacksonville, Florida, or Jackson, Mississippi. and it's going to cost like 10 times more than what you – yeah, I'm like, well, you know. So that sort of forced me to say, okay, it's time for me to do strictly digital. So I've been able to do that and that happened where we're really reaching more people, you know, digitally, of course. So now it can come directly to your phone or your computer. People get it. You know, if we have breaking news, which I got some breaking news coming up, which we're going to put up and should be coming up today, later on today, about Isaiah Hughley.
Okay. Yeah,
his attorney. Well, we can talk about that, but we're going to do that. So we've gone strictly digital. That has been a change over the 20 years. We've hired some people now, so we've got some freelance writers. You know, we've got some things going on, and we're reaching a lot more people. We've got a whole new website that we were able to get. We received a couple of grants, one that allowed us to change our whole website that makes it easier for us to use and makes it easier for you all to see, and gives us that opportunity to send out newsletters whenever we want to. So we're just like any newspaper now. We can send out stuff every day, every hour, anytime we want. So we can do that. So it's been interesting. It has been challenging. You know, I haven't there have never been a time when I said, all right, I'm tired of this, I'm going to give it up. It's not been that, because it's been fun, man. It's been fun. People respect the newspaper. You know, I think they realize that if they tell me something, then I'm going to research it. Now, I've been caught up in, you know, I've been caught up in some fuses twice that I printed some things and I went back. And unlike most mainstream newspapers, if they get it wrong, they put it in the back page somewhere. But I come straight on the cover, you know, of the cover, or I come straight on and say, hey, there were a couple of times when I got waylaid by somebody who gave me some information. I didn't really research it like I should. Uh-huh. But I cleaned it up and was open and upfront with it. But other than that, man, it's been a great ride for 20 years.
But that is journalistic integrity, what we're speaking of, you know. You know, there's an old saying that says the apology needs to be as loud as the disrespect or the foul.
Yeah, the lie.
The lie, yeah. The apology needs to be as loud. And sometimes I think it needs to be louder because, you know, when you those stains on people's names.
Oh, man, they stay with you forever.
They stay
really.
With you.
Yeah.
They stay with you, you know. So very important. But so we've talked about this publication over the last 20 years. I want to talk about what gave you the idea specifically to go into the Latino community and provide a resource for them as well.
That was an interesting story. And that was the day I went to sell my first ad. And some of you all may know him, Tony Calloway. At the time, he was selling Primerica.
I know Tony.
And now
Calloway.
He is the... I can't remember. He's got his whole new thing now. The syndicate, the money syndicate guy. But I went to see him in his office, and he had just left the Chamber of Commerce. This was back in 2005. He had just left the Chamber Commerce meeting. He was big at the Chamber at that time. He said, you know, you're starting this paper, the Courier. Had you ever thought about doing a Hispanic paper? I'm like, man, I don't speak Spanish. He said, well, I'm just saying it's an opportunity. At the meeting today, that the Hispanic paper that they had said that they were folding, that they were no longer going to be published. And I think if you had opportunity to do that, it would be great. So I left his office and went over to the Chamber of Commerce and spoke with Ron Hines, who was the vice president then, and Marie Cordero was Hispanic, and she was there.
Okay.
And so we sat and talked for, I'm telling you, for 2 hours. And by the time I left, I had a name, Echo Latino. I said, well, I've got the Courier, and I said, I need something that sort of goes along with that. And they said, like, Echo Latino. I said, Echo. I said, okay, that's fine. So I had a name, and then they had given me like 4 or 5 people to talk to. Now, because I didn't speak Spanish, they gave me some Hispanic folks who could translate for me.
Uh-huh.
That's how it came about. And I said to myself, well, I ain't never did a newspaper, period. I might as well do this. And so, it just fit. It just fit. And 20 years later, I'm still here publishing for the Hispanic community as well as mine. Now, there have been... at one time, there were 4 people who had come in the city saying they wanted to do a Hispanic newspaper. And they were telling people, no, we got Wayne. And so, I feel really good about that because still, to this day, you know, I've got Hispanic folks who I'll print some things in Spanish and in English and Spanish. And you just have to know your market. So I'm here 20 years later still being the Courier on one side and Echo Latino on the other.
That's really awesome. And, you know, you served in this community in a number of capacities, more recently as the, I think, the immediate past president of the NAACP chapter here.
Mm-hmm.
How did that help what you do with the newspaper?
You know, it's all about name recognition. I think it was helpful to be elected the president of the NAACP because people knew me. They knew the integrity of the newspaper. They knew that at least I'll speak up. The other part is if you're going to be president of that type of organization, you can't be beholden to anybody. And so if you have your own business, it's easier to have your own business. It would be hard for me to be an employee of a company like an Aflac or CB&T or Synovus and call myself, can do it. I can do it. But, you know, there's always some pushback, you know, if you're beholden to a company. So the fact that I own my own company and people knew that that I was not afraid to speak the truth. And so that was a plus. And so even now, even though I'm not the president, I still, if I'm bound about, so people stop me and say, yeah, I need this, I need that, which is fine. You know, people have seen me. Well, I've seen you somewhere. Where were you? I saw you on TV with the NAACP doing something, you know. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Has there been any pressure? Do you get any, like, outside pressure to print certain things? Like, I don't know.
Unbossed,
unbossed, huh?
Thank you. I mean, look, if you're doing right, you're fine. When you do wrong, you get wrong. You know, I mean, I'm going to print it whether, you know, you have to be honest. You know, I know a lot of people, and I'm friends with some folk, but I've hurt some my friends' feelings too. So, you know, but you got to let people know that, okay, yeah, he probably ain't gonna write that. And then they look up, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you take the bitter with the sweet. It's just like me. I'm a public figure. People can talk about me. You know, if I can write about you, I'm a public figure. I got to take the bitter with the sweet.
This is true.
So it's all good. I mean, I ain't mad at nobody, you know, but you better do right because I got plenty of cartoons. Excuse me. If you pop up in a cartoon, you can act a fool if you want to.
Uh-oh. So
I got a cartoonist on contract.
Wow. That's crazy.
For real.
That's pretty dope, though. Mm-hmm. That's pretty dope. So 20 mm-hmm. years is definitely cause for celebration.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've got something big planned to celebrate 20 years of Courier mm-hmm. Eco Latino mm-hmm. in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it.
Well, annually, you know, for 20 years we've been recognizing. And the other part of why I wanted to do recognitions over the years, because I always wanted to recognize the little man. It's not always the congressmen and the state representatives that do all the work. There are folks always behind the scenes, whether it's a wife, whether it's a secretary, whether it's just a DJ, you know, just there's people in this community, and I don't want to call them little people, but people who are overlooked that are really putting in the work. So over the years, we've been recognizing those individuals. Now, we started out recognizing just the community, recognizing folks that we felt deserved, and we put it out in the community, and they sent in nominations. And so over the years, we've sort of changed and whittled that down. So now, of course, we do a Lift Her Up Award, which we do with the Women's Empowerment with Davis Broadcasting.
Yes, absolutely.
And you all have been so gracious with us that you allowed us to be a part of your program, since it is Women's Empowerment Month, to allow us to provide the magazine. And then we recognize our ladies during that time frame. Well, now we started 2 years ago with Lift Him Up Awards. Mm. And so now we recognize men in the community to do that. But we've always recognized others. So we've got categories now. So now for our community, we call it the CEL Awards, Courier Eco Latino Awards. So we recognize, we have a B.J. McBride Award for the youth.
Oh, wow.
B.J. McBride was a well-known director of guidance here in Columbus, Georgia. She started as a teacher. Mm-hmm. She worked with the Courier Eco Latino for years. The whole time I was here, right? And even when I was with the director of the YMCA. So we do an award in her honor where we recognize a young person in the community. We have a C.A. Brother Love Hardman Award, Activist Award. He was a brother who wrote for us for years, and he was one of those folks for Truth to Power. So we have an Activist Award that we give out. We have a Dr. Bob Wright Award, a Philanthropy Award, on behalf of him. He came in and really helped me in 2007 to 2009. So we do an award in his honor. We have a Harold Lefty Encarnacion Hispanic Award. This individual he was big time. He was the Hispanic businessman here in this community. Millie's restaurant over on South Lumpkin Road years.
Oh, yes.
Man, I love that man. Man, we worked together for so long. Matter of fact, he was one of my first articles in my paper. Well, he passed away about 8 years ago. And so we decided to do an award in his honor and recognize a Hispanic person in this community. We have a Publishers Award, which in honor of someone who was an entrepreneur who has struggled and stepped out there on their own to do an entrepreneur thing, start the business on their own. So we have those awards, man. And we have a Kim Porter Legacy Award, where recognize someone from the arts who has, you know, we recognize Ty Manns 1 year. We recognize Chelsea Harris, who was an actress from here. Man, she was in Designated Survivor. Man, she's big time. A lot of people don't know her, but she's in. She's really cool, sister. And the first year, we recognized Mike Jarrell.
Yes.
Yeah. So we and this year, we're recognizing somebody. She's really cool. So you got to come. But man, and I mean, so that's the whole idea. It's going to be on Saturday, July 26th. At Green Island Hills, starting at 6:30. And people know, when I say 6:30, you ain't really no CP time. You can come, at 6:45 if you want to. And if you're one of the recipients, you're going to have to wait and get your thing afterwards, because we don't backtrack. Come in late if you want to, because everything we do is scripted.
On time.
Yeah, 6:30 is 6:30, not 6:35, because you come in. I'm just saying. And that's respect. Because if you... For example, I've been in events where the event's supposed to start at 7, and they're waiting around for more people to get in. You know, so it'll start like 8:15, 8:30. I'm like, no. If I say 6:30, it's 6:30. If you're not here and you're supposed to get an award, that's disrespectful to me, because if we're giving you an award, you need to be there.
Absolutely.
So anyway, but that's happening this month, this Saturday, July 26th at Green Island Hills, begin at 6:30. And tickets are on sale now. You can contact me at 706-358-9202.
Yeah, you forgot something.
I
got to shout you out for recognizing me a few years ago as well.
Who?
As you didn't mention your Who's Who.
Event, yeah,
as well. That was
so many different things.
That was so. Listen, that was so. Like, it was such a high-class thing. You know, we got to put our tuxes on. It was really, really nice over at the River Center.
Oh, man, that was beautiful.
And I remember what was really funny about it when you told me I'd been nominated. I know I had to go to Los Angeles a couple weeks, or maybe I think the week prior to the awards ceremony. And I was in Los Angeles, and Ty Manns was there as well. He and I got up, and I remember we were having a conversation over cigars like we always do. And he says, yeah, I have to go to this thing when we get back to Columbus for the Who's Who of the city. Wayne Hales is doing it. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to that too. So just a funny moment about it. But you always recognize those who are working the unseen hands in the city. You know, you talk about the unseen efforts and how important unseen efforts are. So I think I'm going to slide through on the 26th. I want to come check it out.
I'll tell you what, we've got some great entertainment too, because we've got Marcita Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, that woman can sing. There's a Kelly Hollis, who is a young lady who is a Miss Georgia. She can sing. And then we've got Tony Parkman. Everybody knows Tony Parkman. But
yes.
Then I've got Julian Leake.
Oh, wow.
Julian Leake can sing. I don't know if you know Julian, but Julian sounds like Jeffrey Osborne.
Yes.
Now, let me go back. My very first, and the reason I'm so happy, because Julian, I've been trying to get Julian for the longest, and he finally said, hey, Wayne, you've been asking me, and I've been saying no. But 20 years ago, Tony Parkman and Julian Leake did my first performance at the Liberty Theater. So
really?
At my first event, Community Service Awards, they performed for me. And I will tell you how bad Tony Parkman was. The power went out. The lights went out. And he was on stage singing, "The House Is Not a Home." It went down. That brother kept singing like a professional. He got a standing ovation. He was singing a cappella and he killed it,
wow.
Man. I'm telling you, he killed it. And the police gave him a standing ovation. So I came back and asked them, him and Julian, would they sing for me this time? And they said yes. So it's going to be a great, great event, man.
Well, Wayne Hales, thank you so much for coming through and having the Sunday conversation with me.
Oh, man.
I think you do Class A events here. You've got a really, really classy publication I always look forward to reading it and getting that inside perspective. It's a lot of things going on in the city that they're not going to publish in with that kind of a perspective. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the perspective.
Can I give you some breaking news?
Please do.
I would tell you, I just got a letter from Isaiah Hughley's attorney. He's going to get ready to file an EEOC claim on July 14th. And only when you say July 14th, he's giving the city a chance to come forward and do what they're supposed to do before he files his claim. And the letter I got is 138 pages. He had detailed it out of why the discrimination, the racial discrimination, man. And I'm going to print it. The article will be up today in the Curriac Latino News. So, and again, you can get my paper free online. All you have to do is subscribe to CurriacNews.org, hit that subscribe button, put your name in and your email address, and it automatically start coming to you.
Wow. Breaking news. Y'all heard it first.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah Hughley's attorney down. About to...
Uh-oh.
With a pot of gold. I'm sorry. Somebody about to get paid. I'm sorry.
Woo! Well, Wayne Hills, again, thank you so much. Please continue to bring us news that we can use.
Thank you, my brother.
That's relevant to us. It's greatly appreciated.
Thanks, my brother. I appreciate you.
And again, y'all continue to listen. This is your Sunday Conversation.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.